Church. It is so good to see you all this morning on this Father's Day. So if you're a guest of ours, it's an honor to have you here. So great to have you could be seated. Brother Willie was part of Calvary Gospel Church a few years ago, and he felt the burden to move to Oklahoma. I just can't see Brother Willie in cowboy boots with spurs and a cowboy hat. But nevertheless, I'm picking him a little bit. And I see missions is going well in Oklahoma. You have a new convert. He brought back, this is his wife, Victoria. So he moved down there. I'm picking on you a little bit. It's been a year or so, you know, since I, but great to have you here. And so great to see so many of the rest of you here, our Father's Day. So we have a great Father's Day service lined up here in our next session. So excited about that. But I just want to take some of you, my wife and I, this past week, we were celebrating our 40th anniversary. And so we're excited about that. My wife had had some nice, very beautiful sailing excursions lined up for us. We've been married 40 years, Brother Peter, and I never knew that my wife loved lighthouses. This is one of those conversations, you know. It's just we've never had a conversation about lighthouses. But I found out that she really liked lighthouses, so we did a lighthouse tour of Door County. And it was their big weekend for lighthouse tours. I guess they have a whole week just scheduled for that. So, and then we spent a few days up at our church camp. The ladies will appreciate we got some air conditioning in one of your bathrooms up there. So they were wanting air conditioning in the bathroom. So we got that taken care of and some other minor things. But we were laughing because we were up there on Wednesday, and on our honeymoon, we had gone to La Crosse. We were in La Crosse for a few days, and we had just torrential rains. And we came back to Madison, and we went to the Dells, and we got rained out at the Dells. So we kind of like run out of money. So we come back home, and my dad's like, well, I'm going to Shawano to work week. Why don't you come join us up there? At least the food's free. So here we are on our honeymoon up there working at camp for 3 days on the work crew. And we started laughing. It's like 40 years later, we're celebrating our anniversary. And where are we? We're working on the same building we were working on 40 years ago. Anyway, great to be back. Great to be home. And we're going to move on with our series this morning. We've been talking about warning signs of a carnally minded Christian. And I hope that you have implemented some of these things that we've been talking about. And we've been reading from Romans chapter 7, some of these principles. And Paul wrote quite a bit of the New Testament. He wrote what we call the epistle or the epistles, the letters to the various churches, and he wrote the book of Romans, and then of course Ephesians and Colossians and Galatians. These were all cities that he was writing to, and churches that were in these cities. And now these churches were not new churches; they weren't just freshly formed churches. They were churches that had been around for some time. And he writes this, and he kind of starts to spill a little bit of his own, I guess you could say, kind of poured his guts out a little bit to the church here in Rome, reading from chapter 7, verses 15 through 20 in the Message. He writes this, and I think we can today relate a lot to what he's saying. He's saying, I can anticipate the response that is coming. I know that all God's commands are spiritual, but I am not. That he asked the question, isn't this also your experience? Yes, I'm full of myself. After all, I've spent a long time in sin's prison. What I don't understand about myself is that I decide one way and then act another, doing things I absolutely despise. I could relate to that so much because I find myself in that same position many times in life. So he goes on to say, so if I can't be trusted to figure out what is best for myself and then do it, it becomes obvious that God's command or the word of God in my life is necessary. but I need something more, for I know the law. So he's basically saying, I know what this says. I know the law. I've been trained in it. I learned from an early age. I went to Sunday school. I went to youth class. I went to church camp. I was on the quiz team. I know what the word says, but I can't keep it. But if the power of sin within me keeps sabotaging my best intentions, I obviously need help. I realize that I don't have what it takes. I can will it, but I can't do it. Does this like hit right between the eyes this morning? Does this hit right in your heart this morning? I decide to do good, but I really don't do it. I decide not to do bad, but I do it anyway. My decisions, such as they are, don't result in actions. Something has gone wrong deep within me and gets the better of me every time. Now that's a true statement of honesty. So we talked about some of the symptoms of being carnally minded. Number one that we covered was, are you concerned more about yourself than anything else? We live in a me-centered world. Are you obsessed with getting more? We live in a world that is obsessed, a nation that's obsessed with getting more possessions. I want more stuff. And never satisfied with what you have. Do you think you are more than what you really are? We talk about pride. I think pride is the original sin. I think all sin has its roots embedded in pride. Pride is a big warning sign of the carnally minded Christian, and many times we just simply refuse to acknowledge that it's present in our lives. Most people who are prideful are never willing to admit it. So if you're unwilling to admit you have a pride issue, then you probably have a pride issue. Pride can take many forms. And you have to be careful because it's very easy to slip from humility to pride. We talked about the two brothers that had cars. One had a brand new Cadillac Escalade, and he had to park in the front row so everybody could see his new car. And then we had the brother that had a car that somebody stole his catalytic converter off of during service. It's loud. It rumbled real loud. It's all rusted out. And he parks way out in the edge of the parking lot. True story? Yes. Both of those people have the same issue. One's parking way out because he doesn't want anyone to see his car, and the other one's parking close because he wants everyone to see his car. So, we covered, do you find yourself unwilling to forgive? We talked about recognizing that no one is perfect. No one here is perfect. There's no one perfect on this planet. We need to relinquish our right to get even. Someone does you wrong, what we most often want to do is we want to figure out a way to get back at them. We have to give up our right to get even. We have to respond to evil with good. Joseph is a great, great example of a young man who responded to evil in his life with good, even though he had to pay a little bit of a price for that. He came out on top at the end. And then we wanted to refocus. Our last point was refocus on God's plan for your life. If we spend more time focusing on what God's plan is for our life and less time focusing about those that do us wrong. I also gave you a challenge on three things to pray for. And then I talked about praying for people. And how that sometimes we pray me prayers. Our prayers are all about me. They're all about what I want, my issues. And God is seeking for us to get out of that. It's all about me and start praying for other people. So understand the problem among you Hear me now. The problem among you is usually caused by the problem in you. The most problematic person in this church is me. Everybody needs to say that about themselves. Now you may say, well, you know, what are you talking about, Pastor? Well, we're going to move on in this lesson. And our next point that we're going to talk about, we're going to cover. Now, we're talking about carnality here. Paul was writing to us, the church. He wasn't writing to downtown Madison State Street. He was writing to the church on the hill, Calvary Gospel Church. This is who he was addressing. So, moving on to some less subtle signs of a carnally minded Christian. This is something that I have seen in a whole different set over the last few years. And we have our own ways of rationalizing this point. We say, I work hard and I deserve to play hard. And I wish that over the past years of my life that I prayed as hard as I played. And we're going to talk about point number five is, are you seeking pleasure with no boundaries? The Bible talks about the pleasures of sin. It says it's pleasurable, are short, it's for a season. It's for a specific amount of time. It's not going to last forever. And if we're not careful as a Christian, we can develop the mindset that says, I can do what I want when I want, and there's no pastor or there's no teacher or leader that's going to tell me otherwise because I can do what I want to do. I'm my own person. This way of thinking sets things that are black and white in Scripture. The Scripture's very black and white. There's principles that we follow. We know if God's not happy about something. We know what God's Word says, or we should know. But we take things that are set in stone, black and white, in print, and we muddle them to where they become gray in our lives. This, what was once was thought to be a sinful process or a sinful thing, now becomes acceptable to us, and we begin to make excuses that allow it to become acceptable. I remember years ago when I was growing up, we grew up in a home to where we had no television. I'm not sitting here this morning and I'm not going to preach against TV because I think it's very almost ignorant to say TV's a sin when I can go on the internet and watch the same things, if not worse things. It's all about the condition of a person's heart. I will tell you this, as a Christian, if you want to find sin, you will easily find it. And when you find it, it's very easy to rationalize your way through it. Because we're good at that. Well, God, you know, I have to go on the internet because of my job. Okay. Nothing wrong with the internet. Nothing wrong with working on the internet and your job. I use the internet most every time I put together a message, I'm on the internet. But it's not just what you do. The kids sing that song, Oh, Be Careful, Little Eyes, What You See, and Little Hands, What You Do, Little Ears, What You Hear. You see, once things that we thought was sinful becomes acceptable. I don't know that TV was ever a sin, but if you sit there and you do nothing but indulge yourself in it day after day, week after week, month after month, and you fill your mind up with all of that clutter, all of that garbage, after a while it can become a sin. In other words, sometimes we allow standards to go out the window and we begin to excuse our sinful behavior. We equate it with, well, it's about time that the church loosen up a little bit, not be quite so stiff. I don't know that now is a good time to just start loosening up on things. I think we're so close to the end. Now's not a time I want to just look and say, well, we're this close to shore, you can turn off the bilge pump. Most boats, wooden boats, I found out, all leak. They do. Almost every wooden boat ever built has sunk because they leak. Wood doesn't hold out water forever. And sometimes I think that we feel that because we're this close to shore, we're this close to home, our boat's been leaking, and it's always leaked, that, well, we're this close, let's just turn the pump off, save a little bit on the battery. And our boat starts sinking. It's not a good time now to decide that, well, I'm just going to let up a little bit. You see, we're in very dangerous territory, church. And if we're not careful, we can slip into a dangerous territory. And if it continues, the distinction between those in the church and those in the world, how we live our lives, it begins to disappear, so people can come and see us and we're not any different than anybody else because we've slowly loosened up over time. You see, if this is your life, if you find yourself in this position this morning, what you really need to do is you need to, Paul says, I die daily. What was he saying there? He's saying, I repent every day. Every day. I love what Brother Johnny John said when he was here a few weeks ago, that he loves getting up in the morning because he hasn't sinned while he was sleeping. And it's such a pure time. We have to be careful. We have to repent. We as mature Christians are not above repenting. So many times we feel like salvation is repentance. Baptism, the Holy Ghost, starts with repentance. And we feel like once we repent in salvation, we never have to do it again, Brother Pete. And the problem is when we begin to think that way, it's because pride is already entered. I'm good enough. I don't have to repent every day. What did I do wrong today? Well, just the attitude. Sometimes it's just the attitude, folks. I don't belly up. I go to Black Bear in Cottage Grove. I'm just being real here, okay? We go in there. I don't go in there and belly up to the bar and look at the bartender, Kate, that's the daughter's owner, and say, pour me another one of those Bloody Marys, Kate. I had a rough Sunday morning. I'm not tempted by that. I've never done that. But boy, sometimes just my attitude. And we always look at the person at the bar with the Bloody Mary as being the person that's the sinner, and God's looking at our attitude sometimes and saying, you know better. You know better. They don't. So, what indicators, instead of treating people equally and holding them to account, you excuse your own behavior because these people could give you, or the world can give you, something that you want. And when you look at this, what happens is we get to a point to where our selfish desires become more important than our godly desires. Did you hear what I just said there? Sometimes as Christians, I put myself in this, we can be selfish at times. Remember blessings from God. I've said this before, church. Blessings from God do not always equate to God's approval on our lives and what we're doing. You see, just because God blesses does not mean that you're doing the right things. Hear me. We can live a disciplined life. This is where we go wrong a lot of times. This is just right where it rubber meets. We can live a disciplined life and not live a principled life. And as Christians, we mistake discipline for principle. And our boundaries become blurred. And when our boundaries become blurred over time, we become warped in how we think, and that's how we begin to justify our actions. I want to ask you here this morning, I could spend a lot more time on these topics or these areas, but are you worshiping people, ideas more than worshiping God? Now, right away, we're going to look at this and we're going to say, no, I don't worship people. I don't have an idol. I don't worship any sports idol. But what about ideas more than worshiping God? We live in a day to where that our whole society, the whole thought process of society is being twisted. And if we're not careful, we can look at some of these ideals, some of these mindsets. And a big part of a carnal mind is wanting what you want when you want it. And we have to be careful because this can include worshiping people or ideas that can get you what you want. I could spend a lot of time on this. This one single item has been a thorn in the flesh of God's people since the very beginning. Humanity, God's children, Israel, always seem to have a problem with worshiping other things than God. How many times do we read in the book of Judges, Brother Caskey, you might even know that Israel fell into idolatry. They started to worship other gods, other things, other mindsets, other ideals. They fall into sin. Another nation comes in, conquers them. They are in defeated foe. They're frustrated now, and they're in captivity, and they repent, and God hears their cry, and God sends someone to get them out of that bondage and out of that situation. And a few years go by, and they're right back into the same thing. Sad part about it is I've been around Christianity my whole life, and I've seen enough families that have gone through cycles of judges, just like Israel went through cycles of judges. And yet somehow we never get it. I'm talking to the church this morning. We go through these. We don't want to admit. How dare we admit that we have other idols in our lives? But you see, we have to be careful because idolatry can sneak in. We can worship our jobs. We can worship our homes. We can worship our enjoyment, our hobbies. We can worship political ideals. I see this creeping into the church more and more and more. You may ask, Pastor, how come you never talk much about politics? Because I don't believe politics has got anything to do with the house of God. I am convinced now more than ever that politicians, by and large, are very corrupt. You have to be corrupt just to get there. You got to sell your soul to a system that idolizes itself. That's what it is. It's a system that idolizes itself. I don't want any part of that, whether it's Republican, Democrat, whether it's independent or whatever, Green Party, whatever. I don't want any part of that. I'm not going to put my faith and trust in the Capitol Square or Washington Square. I want to put my faith and trust in God. And then another point I want to cover here is your love for others growing cold? This probably hits harder to me, for me, than probably anything else in this. Because one of the greatest litmus tests that you can test yourself as a Christian is, where do you stand in your love for other people? Not just people you know. I tell you, it's real easy to love Carl Rabe. It's easy to love Glenn Uselman and Terry Seidel. It's easy to love one another here because we have a like kindred. We have the same blood flowing through our veins. But what about the masked Nazi that, I say that because some of you will know what I'm talking about, at Mod Pizza that chews you out if he doesn't like how you wear your mask? I got to where I don't want to go here anymore because this guy, I don't like him. We laugh about stuff like that. Examples that we could go. We all have people in our lives that we look at in the world and we avoid them because we don't like them. Maybe we have people in the church. If you have that same thing, but is your love for others growing cold? I honestly believe that it's impossible. Hear me. I believe it's impossible to truly walk with God and be filled with the precious gift of the Holy Spirit and not have a love for people in your heart. Sometimes we can despise the world. Let's just be honest. I talked about politics, politicians. Sometimes I've listened to conversation at some of the, there's some folks that, Christians that hate people in the world. You see, I don't know if you can love God and not love people. Jesus said it himself. 1 John 4:20. Whoever claims to love God yet hates a brother or sister is a liar. For whoever does not love their brother and sister whom they have seen, how can they love a God who they have never seen? And when Jesus was asked this question, being tricked by the Pharisees and the religious leaders of his day about loving one another, brother and sister, and then
The question was asked, well, who is my neighbor? And Jesus gives the most off-the-wall response as he goes into the parable of the Good Samaritan. Because that wasn't what the society or the church of the day considered to be a neighbor. You see, if you find yourself with no love for people, if there's no love for people in your heart, then there's something wrong with your heart. I'm so thankful that the heart of God reaches out to me regardless of what I've done or said or acted. Some of you may think, wow, Pastor, you must be really bad when you're on vacation. No. I just know sometimes how my humanity can be. And the last thing I want is my humanity holding me back from eternity. Because if we're not careful, carnality, it can get into our hearts. And it can, just like a root of bitterness, it can begin to grow. So God's heart is always reaching out for us because it's in the nature of God. And if this does not exist in you and I, we don't care about the world. We don't care about our neighbors. We don't care about the people in the grocery stores and the Mod Pizza, wherever we may go. Then there's perhaps a level of carnality that has begun to creep into our lives. So where do we go from here? Where do we go from here? Paul warns us of this. Paul tells us in 2 Timothy, writing a letter to a young man he's mentoring in the ministry. He says, mark this. Be aware of this, Timothy. There will be terrible times coming in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves. They're going to be lovers of money. They'll be boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness. That's the scary part in all of this, having a form of godliness. Meaning from the outside, they look like a Christian. But denying its power, he warns Timothy to have nothing to do with such people. So knowing this truth leads us to a question. And as we close this out, I'm reading from Psalms 139. We want to know how. How do we avoid becoming carnally minded? Here's the answer. In an Old Testament psalm, they sum it up like this. Search me, O God. Search me, O God, and know my heart. But it's not just a searching process. The psalmist goes on to say, test me, Lord. Test me. I want to make sure that I have a pure heart, and that I have pure intentions. I have a pure mind. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me. What does he mean by offensive way? See if there's anything in me that would cause someone else to stumble and fall. Is there something in me, something deep down inside my heart that I'm not willing to let go of? And lead me in the way everlasting. To avoid this mindset, a carnal mindset from creeping in, we have to every day, we have to get that time alone with God and say, search me, O Lord. Search me, O Lord. Search me, O Lord. You see, you cannot depend on yourself. As Paul wrote at our lead-in passage, you cannot depend on yourself to diagnose, the condition of your mind and your heart. What does Scripture say? It says the heart above all is wicked, and who can know it? So you're going to ask a wicked heart to diagnose the level of spirituality or carnality in your mind? No, you're going to justify yourself out of it every time. So we have to depend on God. Allow God to reveal it to you if there's something wrong in your heart. You see, if we make this a part of our daily routine, if we do this every day, with all sincerity, God will show up. Did you know that? God will show up. Sometimes I've had people, I just can't hear from God. God just, do you talk to God and do you listen? Wait for a response? The thing I found out that makes our relationship with my wife go a whole lot better is when I ask her a question, I wait for a response. Some of us never do that. And we wonder why we can't get along with other people. Because we never wait. Because we're too busy trying to figure it out ourselves. So as we stand this morning, I want to challenge you this next week and the weeks on out. Take these principles that we've been laying out and apply them to your lives in your daily routine with all sincerity, because God will show up in your life and he will help you to avoid slipping into being carnally minded. Will you do that with me? All right, let's close out in prayer. Lord, we thank you for this day. I thank you, Lord, for your word. God, your word is so sharp. It's so powerful that, Lord, it knows the difference of the division between my soul and my spirit, my heart and my mind, Lord. And I pray, God, as we struggle in life, as we fight every day the good fight of faith, that, Lord, that you would help us to rid ourselves of our carnal-minded thoughts. I want to be better, Lord. I want to be a better husband. I want to be a better pastor. I want to be a better friend. Lord, I want to be a better neighbor, a better customer. I just want to be better in my life, God. And I pray, God, that you would help us as a church apply these principles that you have taught us in your word to rid ourselves and to talk with you every day. Not superficial, but those kind of conversations that sometimes get down in the nitty-gritty and hurt. I thank you, Lord, for this opportunity. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. God bless you. We're going to have a 15-minute break, and we're going to be starting our Father's Day. So if they haven't got all your names out there, I believe they're collecting all the names. If you haven't turned your name in, we got some great gifts we're going to be giving out to our fathers. So you have 15 minutes. God bless you. Make sure you get your children right away. I saw Brother Pete coming up here. If you have children in your Sunday school, make sure you get them right away. Make sure you visit with Brother Willie and Sister Victoria. So great to have them visiting back with us.